clothes. That's just one of the stories that everybody knows. Oh, I know the facts, but I'd love to feel what the blind man felt when his eyes were healed. He went running through the streets to share.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really wish I could have been there.
He commanded Lazarus to walk right out of his grave, and then a Galilean storm, it started coming the waves. I want to feel that breeze blowing on my face, I want to know the smell, I want to taste the taste, just a reading that it couldn't compare.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread, and see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really wish I could have been there.
I wish I could have
been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread, and see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
Wish I could have been there. Wouldn't that have been something? Wouldn't that have been something? Would you like to have been there? But he's doing those miracles today. Not as many as we ought to have, but we're doing our best to pay the price for more and more wonderful miracles. I want miracles. I want miracles. I'm in the market for miracles. And I say market, I'm in the altar for miracles. I want you healed. I want you to know the touch of God. I want you to know the beauty of his hand, because he is a mighty redeemer. He is a mighty savior. I love you today. I got a program for you that I think is just from the Lord. The devil hates the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? The devil hates the blood of Jesus Christ. But the devil can't do one thing about that blood, because the blood of Jesus defeats every demon and every devil. Everything the devil does, the blood of Jesus defeats it. You have got to learn to depend upon the blood. If there's anything I say to God's people and God's church in this hour in which we live, is you've got to learn to depend upon the blood. You've got to learn to depend upon the blood. We Pentecostals talk about the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Well, I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost does nothing but what the blood has done. He works to make the blood real. He works to show forth the power of the blood. The Holy Ghost is God's agent of power to manifest all that God the Father and God the Son is. You can depend on that. That's just the way it is. And I am happy about it. And today, as never before, in fact, for several weeks now, I've been really studying the Bible about the blood. I preached last Sunday on 5 supernatural things the blood does for you. I'm continuing tomorrow. I've got 4 already lined up. I probably will have another. I'll have probably more than I'm preaching in the time allotted to me. But I'm telling you, you need to understand the power of the blood. And you need to know that that blood, that power is absolutely omnipotent. You know the word omnipotent? It's omnipotent. It's not only omnipotent, it's omnipresent. And it's not only omnipresent, it's omniscient. Omniscient. Everything about the blood is omnipotent, omniscient, omniscious, and omnipresent. I mean, wherever you are, it don't matter, Australia, South Africa, up in Russia, down in South America, up in Canada, or anywhere in America, the blood of Jesus Christ is mighty to deliver. Is mighty, but you've got to have an absolute faith in that blood. You got to quit fiddling around with it and learn to trust the power of the blood. The blood is mighty to save. The blood is mighty to heal. The blood is mighty to do everything that this Bible talks about him doing. Now, let's go to the Bible. Let's remember this is a testament. We call it the Old and New Testament. They're really one. They blend together, perfectly blend together. So you have the testament right here in my hand. What is a testament? It's a will. It's something that somebody that was going to die wrote to you so that when they died, you would have the promises within their will. So the testament is the will of Jesus Christ, will to you by his blood and by his death. And the Holy Spirit is the agent that takes all of this power and makes it real in your life. But your dependency is not on the Holy Spirit, it's on the blood. You call on the blood. You depend on the blood. You trust in the power of the blood. You do what the Bible says, and then you stand on the covenant, which is the will, the covenant of God. He made a covenant. It's a two-sided covenant. You get the positive side. He spoke from it was positive too, but he spoke the truth of it, and now we have the action of it. And the Bible is just that book of action. That book, why the Holy Ghost takes the will of Jesus Christ and applies it to your life. Now, are you allowing him to do that? Are you allowing him to do that? How long has it been since you heard a sermon about the Bible and the blood? I'm sorry, about the blood. How long has it been since you heard a sermon about the blood? I'd like to have several people to call me today and tell me about the last sermon you heard about the blood. I don't think most preachers are preaching about the blood. I've not heard a sermon in some time, long time, about the blood. The blood is the centrality of everything we got and everything we receive. What did Paul say? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. I don't have any glory but the cross. The glory is not me. The glory is not this church. The glory is not anybody out there. The glory is not the sweetheart that was my wife Juanita. The glory is in the blood and in the cross. Every bit of the glory is in the cross. A man who glories in himself is a foolish man, a very foolish man. A woman who glories in herself is a foolish woman, a very foolish woman. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's dig into this cross a little bit today. Let's dig into the blood and what the blood has accomplished for us. We'll start in the book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul said some powerful things in the book of Hebrews. We'll start with chapter 9, verse 11. Chapter 9 and verse 11. Will you listen carefully? Get your Bible out. Would you get your Bible out and begin to read about the blood? I've got a sermon here that is the essence of this program, and it's on the internet. And you can get this whole article. It's a huge article, quite a few pages. You can get the whole article by going to www. Well, you don't need to put the www if you want to, but paulcreek.org. Pawcreek, PAWCREEK.org, and you'll get our website, and you'll go on there to the sermon today. Look for the date of Open Bible Dialogue and get today's program. It'll be up a little bit after 2, and you can read this whole article. You can read it. The devil hates the blood of Jesus Christ. The name of the article is The Blood of Covenant. The blood of his covenant. I really want you to go read that. Every preacher ought to read that. And maybe, you know, many preachers preach sermons off of the internet and off of the web page. Well, preach this sermon. I'd love for you to do it. Get in it. Get your heart in it, though. Don't just preach it like something you memorized, but put your heart in it and preach to your people about the blood. Every church needs to reestablish the confidence and the trust in the blood in their church. Andrew Murray wrote some wonderful books about the blood. He was a South African preacher who really experienced a great Holy Ghost awakening in his Presbyterian church in South Africa. And he wrote books that came out of that, and they were mighty and wonderful stuff. So Andrew Murray's books, wonderful books about the blood, wonderful books about the blood. But let's go to the Bible. The Bible is the source. Hebrews 9 and 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Did you hear that? Let me read it again. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once. Notice as they entered in once into. He entered in once into the holy place. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, where and when did he enter into the holy place? When did he go into that place that is known to in the Bible as the holy place? Not the earthly one, but the heavenly one. The Bible tells us, and I'm going to read this to you in John in a little bit, when he was resurrected on the morn of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, to the graveyard looking for him. And she found him. She didn't know at first. She thought he was the gardener. But when she realized it was the Christ, he said to her, "Don't touch me. Don't touch me." He said, "And go tell my disciples, I ascend to the Father, my Father and your Father." He said that. Go tell them I ascend. When he ascended to heaven, it was temporary. Only that day he was back before the day was over. And he ascended to heaven. What did he do? There it is. Very plain, very simple. He entered in once into the holy place. He went into the temple in heaven and put his blood on the altar of heaven. His blood is on the altar of heaven right now. Right now, the blood of Jesus Christ is on the altar in heaven. Oh, Brother Chambers, I don't believe that. Well, then you need to get out your Bible and you need to get on your knees and start doing some study. Could I tell you that over in Revelation 19, he takes his own garment on which he is clothed and puts it, his vesture, and dips it in blood. Now, where did he get the blood? There's no other blood in heaven but his blood. There sure been no animals slain up there. There been no human being slain up there. My Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's no blood up there except his blood. And his blood is in this place right here where he says he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. His blood was divine blood. It can die. His blood can no more die than he himself could die, except he did it of his own accord. And so his blood is in heaven on the altar, and he will dip his garment in it before he comes back at the Battle of Armageddon to clean up the wickedness and to set up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. I'm telling you, that's good stuff to dig out, friend. That's good stuff to study. And this is not something new. It's as old as the Bible is. It's just that it isn't being preached today, and so most of you have never heard it. We don't get that deep in most theological circles. We stay on the shadow of things, on the verge, edge of things. But God is calling. I'm telling you now, listen to me. I hope you will. We are fixing to see the end. The end is in the making. I'm telling you right now, the Lord God is going to have the last word. And I'm telling you that the 7-year judgment is coming. I don't know when it'll start. The rapture's got to happen first. But I know even now we're going to hear more and more about the blood. I'm going to be talking more and more about the blood. I'm looking for a wonder in the heavens. And do you know what I'm actually expecting God to put in the heavens? Is a great cross that is going to be dripping in blood, His blood. It's going to become visible for the world to know that the blood of Jesus is the only means of redemption, the only means of salvation. And that blood is going to come into focus in the very short time, maybe any day now, maybe even today. That blood's going to come into focus. And this world is going to begin to understand that it's the blood or it's hell. It's the blood or it's eternal damnation. It's the blood or it's the lake of fire. You choose. Do you want to be washed in the blood? Do you want to spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire? You must make that choice. I can't make it for you. I don't want to make it for you. If I could, I would. And it would be, yes, I surrender. I give myself to that cleansing of that blood. And I want you to do that. I want you to do that. Well, this Bible is so powerful. Let me read on a little bit here. Let me read that verse again. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. His own blood, He entered in once. You say His blood was spilt on the cross. This would have to be after the resurrection. Well, I don't know how they did it, but I know the blood of Jesus was transported to heaven. And I know the blood of Jesus was placed on that altar, the Ark of the Covenant. I know the blood of Jesus is still there, just as full of life as it ever was. Or you couldn't be saved. Or you couldn't be forgiven. And I wouldn't even be saved if it hadn't been for that wonderful blood. So the blood has been placed on the altar in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. How much more? How much more? How much more, my friend, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from evil works or dead works to serve the living God? Now, I got to go back and read verse 15. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the sprinkling of a heifer sprinkleth the unclean to the purifying of the flesh or the sanctifying of the flesh, how much more? I mean, throughout the Old Testament, the blood was a shadow of something wonderful to come on the day of Christ, something glorious. But that shadow was sufficient. Yes, the shadow of the blood was sufficient to cleanse Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on through the Bible. That blood was capable, although it was yet a shadow, although it was yet to be offered. Although it was yet in the great plan of God, the blood of bulls and goats was a type and a shadow of that future sacrifice. And it was sufficient to save, sanctify, cleanse, make them pure, make them holy. David became a man after God's own heart. You sure want to start with, but became one after God's own heart. Abraham became known as the father of faith. Great people in the Bible, Old Testament, I speak of, that by the sacrifice of the blood. Moses was saved by the sacrifice in a shadow of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, friend, the only way you can be saved and cleansed and purified is by the blood. If you do not trust the blood, now I don't mean some little a penny anything. I don't mean some word that some preacher says over you at the altar, standing there, still living in your sins with no intent of repenting, no tears on your eyes. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to get in that altar and get on your knees before Almighty God and let the glory of His presence and His blessing overshadow you. Let the glory of His divine joy overshadow you. I promise. I promise you, heaven will respond and you'll be wonderfully converted and you'll be so proud that you came to Christ. You know, I came to Him 68 years ago and I was a 16-year-old brat. I couldn't even read or write. I was so dumb and illiterate, it was pathetic. But Jesus saved me, made a new creature out of me. And it's all by grace. I would be sitting here of no value at all. I couldn't even know the things of God if he hadn't taught me. So it's all him. It's none of me. It's all of him. And if ever you've said, none of me, but all of thee, none of me, but all of thee, if ever you've said that, you need to say it over and over and over. I'll never forget an old pastor friend of mine. In fact, he was my state overseer, Brother Lemons. Oh, what a dear man he was. And he had the sweetest thoughts to say about his trust in Christ, his dependency on Jesus, not by works of righteousness, but by his grace. That's what we all must say. Not by what you are, not by what you could do, but what he's done for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I hadn't finished reading this. I'm sorry. I get excited about it. For if the blood of bulls and goats and heifers would sprinkling of the unclean would sanctify them, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from evil works to serve, or did works, he says, to serve the living God. Do you want your conscience purged? You want this head of yours to be cleaned up until there's no guilt up there? Think about it. I did a prayer meeting on Tuesday night for mothers who had aborted their babies, aborted their children. There's been millions of them. America goes crazy. Over 100,000 or so that's died from this virus, and I feel that pain. I hurt for those people that died. But how about the millions that we've killed at the end of a doctor's instrument? Oh, my friend, God is holding us for all the death of those wonderful children. God is holding us right now, and we're being judged. That's what this virus is all about. It's God is saying, how long will you kill your little children? How long will you promote same-sex marriage? How long will you promote immorality of every description? How long will you be a part of such careless living? That's what he's saying to us, and he's calling us to the altar. And why don't you lead the way? You can't do it for them, but you can do it for yourself. And in a way, you can do it. When you do it for yourself, you're doing it for everybody. Oh, I'm doing it for everybody. I promise you, Jesus is calling us to repent. Jesus is calling us to repent. And I'm telling you, you watch my word. There's going to be a sign in the heavens above, a wonder, I should call it, in the heavens above, a wonder. I don't know what it would be. I pray it'll be a cross absolutely throbbing with blood. So men will know his blood is alive right now. It is throbbing with life on the altar of the Father in the holy place in heaven. And you can depend on that. And you can be saved right now. You can be healed right now. Whatever your miracle is you need, if it's in the Bible and you got the promise, stand on it and don't waver. Don't waver an iota. Stand on it and believe God. And he's big enough and sufficient enough and faithful enough to give you a miracle. Oh, I'm praying for somebody right now. Oh, be healed by the power of the blood. Be saved by the power of the blood. Repent of your sin, dear friend. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to wash you. And believe him that he will wash you from head to toes in his blood and make a holy vessel out of you. You say, I could never live holy. I know you can't, but he can. I know you can't cleanse yourself, but he can. You got to repent. You got to be sick and tired of that mess you've been living in. You got to be sick and tired of the booze you've drank. All the things of sin that you've involved and deluded yourself in. I'm telling you, come to Christ and he wants to save you. Now, let me go on because I want you to take all of this with you. One more scripture. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. Now notice that. For this cause, because he shed his blood, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were first under the First Testament, and in which are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The promise, for where a testimony is, there must also be the death of a testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength while yet the person liveth. So there you got it. The testator is dead. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the testator, or the testament, is alive because the testator is dead. Now, the blood of that covenant is the throbbing, powerful, penetrating, never dying blood, divine blood of the divine person that we call Jesus Christ, that we know as the Son of the living Father, the great God. He so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Now, I want to take you to that scripture in John. I think you need to hear it, and I think you need to see it. When Jesus was, when he was resurrected, the morn of His resurrection, Jesus, wait a minute, let's read verse 16. This is St. John, chapter 20. St. John, chapter 20, verse 16. You got it? Jesus saith unto her, Mary, this is Mary Magdalene. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. She saw it was Jesus. She saw it was Jesus. She first thought He was the gardener, but now she saw it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not. Now, I want every one of you religious people who know a little bit about the Bible to listen to this. This is St. John 20 and verse 17. You got that? Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to the Father. I've not yet ascended to the Father. You know, He was here for 40 days. You understand that? But He had to temporarily ascend to the Father. And He said to Mary Magdalene, Don't touch me. Now, why did He say, Don't touch me? Because He was the living sacrifice. He had offered His blood. But He had to make that offering not just on the cross. He had to make it in the temple in heaven. He had to go into the Holy of Holies and put that blood on the altar, just like the priest would do in the priesthood of the Old Testament. Now, Jesus had to follow the same pattern. So He had to ascend. He had to go to heaven, and He had to go into the temple. He had to go into the Holy of Holies, and He had to put that blood on the altar. And I'll read this again. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to the Father. I'm not yet ascended to the Father. But go and tell my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Hallelujah. But Brother Chambers, He appeared to the disciples that evening. That evening He appeared to the disciples, but He yet had to go to heaven. And He sent in Mary Magdalene to tell them He's going to go to heaven. He's got to go to the Father. And then we just saw that in Hebrews 9, where He entered into the holy place, and offered the blood on the altar. Now, I don't know whether this does anything for you, but it sets my heart aflame. I will never forget the morning in that sanctuary in there. I was up preaching. I was about halfway down the aisle from the altar toward the back door. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost gives me this inspiration. And I cry out, hey, wait a minute. When He put that cape about Himself in heaven before He mounted His white horse, He dipped that cape in blood. Now, how in the world did blood get to heaven? How in the world was there animals slain? Were there people? No, none of that had ever happened. Read your Bible for yourself. The only blood up there was what He had offered in that holy place that we read about in Hebrews 9 and that we see here now in His words in John 20, verse 17. My friend, that blood is on the altar in heaven. Are you hearing me? You go tell your pastor, man, dig into that and learn what Brother Chambers is teaching us. And you start showing us that blood is in heaven. Now, all you must do, every one of you, is come to Christ in total surrender and claim the blood of Jesus Christ. All your prayer life needs to be claiming the blood. All the promises of God in this Bible are sealed with the blood. There's nothing else that makes these promises alive but the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Am I helping you? Oh, I pray I am. By the help of God, by the sweet Holy Ghost, I'm believing for a great sovereign revival. I'm believing for a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost cannot move but by the blood offering of Jesus Christ and the promise. And when there's a promise and there's a covenant, there's got to be both the covenant maker and the covenant keeper. the covenant maker and the covenant keeper. He's the covenant maker. You're the covenant keeper. You will get what you believe the Father by the blood wants to give you if you will totally surrender and start claiming the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope I'm getting across because I know this is divine truth. This is heavenly truth, my friend. This is mighty truth. And this truth will change the church world. We'll have a Holy Ghost awakening. We'll have a Holy Ghost revival if we'll all get into this truth and start living it and start believing for it and start claiming it. It's God's promise to us. Great day. I don't know what you feel, but I feel the mighty Holy Ghost sitting here. I feel the mighty Holy Ghost sitting here. Now, I got more scriptures to read. I'm fixing to read them to you. But I would love it if you'd pick up that phone and call and ask me some question about all of this. And let me make it as plain as the Bible has made it for you. I promise you, God will help me make it plain. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. And I will answer your call and put you right on the air. I got the phone set to have you and have people listen to you. It will be a delight and a joy. It'll be a delight and a joy. So do it if you will. Do it if you will. And you got to understand, in the book of Revelation, this truth of the blood of Jesus just comes alive. Let me tell you how many times Jesus is called the Lamb of God or the Lamb in the book of Revelation. Doesn't start to chapter 4, but from chapter 4 to 22, he is called the Lamb of God or the Lamb, just simply the Lamb, 23 times. 23 times. You can take the book of Revelation and you can hold it in your hand and you can say, this is a testament that Jesus Christ sealed with his blood. It calls him the Lamb. Why was he called the Lamb? Because he was slain. A Lamb of God is a picture of the crucified Christ, not the living Christ preaching on the streets of Jerusalem or in the different areas of Israel. It was the Christ who was crucified. The Lamb is a picture of the slain Son of God, the crucified Son of God. When you mess with the book of Revelation, you're messing with the book of Him. You're messing with a book that belongs to the Christ. I'm telling you, if ever you've got in this book and lived, you need to do so today. I hope everybody's hearing me. I really do. As far as I know, it's going everywhere that it's intended to go, and I pray. How many of you remember all the beauty of the Old Testament, their sacrifices, and how the shadow of the blood was so redemptive? How many remember the brazen serpent? The brazen serpent, that when they looked upon it, they were instantly healed. And the old serpent was defeated. If I could get everybody listening to me to look this afternoon, if I could get you to look to the blood and nothing but the blood. If God has ever changed me and made me dependent on the blood as never before, He's doing it. I've been crying out for a faith that is anchored in nothing but the sacrifice of the blood. I've been crying out that all I am is at His disposal, and by His graces we can touch our world. Are you ready? Are you ready to help me touch our world? Well, there's so many things in this great book, and I've got to read all of them to you. I really have. They are wonderful to me. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19. This is a part of the book of God that I love. Hebrews, I preached from this last Sunday morning. Find the right scriptures here. I tell you, I love the Bible. How many of you really love your Bible? Do you? Do you really love your Bible? Here we are now in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Let me read you a little more about this power of the blood. The power, having therefore brethren, to enter into the holiest by how? The blood of Jesus. How do you pray? Do you pray according to how strong you feel and how much you think your faith is worth and how strong you feel your faith is? Or do you pray in total dependency on the blood? Absolute total dependency on the blood. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. See the Old Testament, the New Testament. The New Testament is the new and living way. The Old Testament was a shadow. This is no longer a shadow. It's the real thing. By new and living way, which hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. The Son of God was divine. Every part of his being was divine. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was the Son of God in Mary's womb. Are you listening to me? He was the Son of God in Mary's womb. Have you dedicated yourself to know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God in Mary's womb? I'm going to hold that place and we'll come back. But go with me back to Luke. Go with me back to Luke. I want you to see something, will you? When Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, the first thing Mary did was she left to go to her cousin's house, Elizabeth. She had to go and let Elizabeth, who is to be the mother of John the Baptist. Now, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. John the Baptist was in her womb. And Mary entered in to Elizabeth's house. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." The angel said, "Call his name Jesus." And Mary arose those days and went into the hill country, made with haste unto the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. Who's Elizabeth? The wife of Zechariah, the mother of John the Baptist. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby, the 6 months John, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's in the book of Luke. If you want to go read it, chapter 1, and it goes on to say that John the Baptist, 6 months conceived, 3 months until birth, in the womb of Elizabeth also was filled with the Holy Ghost. And somebody says, when does life begin? It begins at conception. I'll tell you when it begins. The moment that baby is conceived in mama's womb, there is an eternal soul in that mother's womb, an eternal soul. And that mother, if she gets saved later on in her life and goes to heaven, she will meet her little baby that she killed in her womb. If that don't scare the hound out of you, I don't know what it would take to scare the hound out of you. Listen to me. I'm telling you that we must understand this life is a miraculous life. It's not just a few short minutes, a few short hours, a few short years, or maybe even 100 years. It's an eternal life. We'll be somewhere in eternity. And those babies will be somewhere in eternity. And I know, I probably got some people turned off with that, but I'm sorry. But I just want you to understand that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. By Mary's presence, though Mary could not have been pregnant more than 24 hours, maybe less than 24 hours, maybe 2 days. Don't matter. Very little is going to happen in, say, a 2 or 3 day span in the womb of Mary, except that baby is conceived in her, and Jesus was within the bowels of Mary. And so his presence caused Elizabeth to be filled with the Holy Ghost and caused the baby 6 months, 3 months until birth, John the Baptist, to leap in her womb. And Scripture also said he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, friend, these kind of truths are over my head. They really are. But I am willing to say them because I believe the Bible is infallible. And I don't believe I have a right to mess with nothing. I believe I have a right to mess with nothing but give it to you. Now, let's go back to Hebrews. I want you to get this, and I want you to take it home with you. And I pray that God will get a hold of you. And if you don't believe everything I said, at least believe the power of the blood and start claiming that power of the blood and start crying out for God to fill you with his great spirit and to open your heart to the blood. And for every promise in this Bible, claim the blood. Don't try to live for God by your own strength. I've been saved 68 years and I dare not trust Joe Chambers. I dare not trust in myself. I trust only in the power of the blood to keep me. I've been yearning lately to be more committed to him than ever. And I finally reached a place where I am saying I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm yearning for that. Paul said, the latter part of his ministry, I count not myself to have apprehended that for which I was apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm doing that too. I'm pressing toward that mark. I'm not there yet. I don't claim to be. I still feel like I've failed in so many little ways. Thank God. Thank God. He's kept me by grace. I've never backslid and gone back into the world of sin. He's kept me living for him. I give him every bit of the credit. I really do. I give him every bit of the credit. And I got to take you back to Hebrews because I've got to get you living in Hebrews. I got to get you dependent on this. Now, remember, the name Lamb or Lamb of God is in the book of Revelation 23 times. We are living in the latter end of the third chapter of the book of Revelation. We're living in the latter end, right at the end of the third chapter of the book of Revelation. We are living in the midst of the Laodicean church. Now, there's still some people from the Philadelphian church. The Philadelphia church was a church that God promised that they would be used of him. And that church is slowly dissipating. And the new church world is a Laodicean church. You know what the word Laodicea, means? It means the church of mob rule. Well, you know that. The church is of mob rule. The preachers are nothing but mob members. I get amazed at preachers today. You try to get them on their knees praying a few hours a day, and you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. I'm here to tell you, you listen to me. The greatest need of this hour is get back in this book and get on fire with the words of this book and live by the blood, under the blood. Do you remember? I remember when I got saved, you was always hearing people say, I'm claiming the blood. I'm claiming the blood. I'm depending on the blood. I'm trusting in the blood. I'm under the umbrella of the blood. That's how people live back when I got saved. That's the reason I've made it all these years, is I've always lived under the power of the blood, but not as dedicated as I should have. I am claiming nothing except I'm striving and reaching forth to more and more and more because I want to be more and more for him. Now, we are going to have a sovereign Holy Ghost revival. I believe I'm going to see it. I'm looking every day for wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. Notice blood and fire and vapor of smoke. I'm expecting some incredible things this very year. I think God's got to speak in this pandemic that we're in. God's got to speak and we got to hear from God. Only God can save us from the liberalism that's out there. Only God can save us from the Marxism that's out there. Only God can save us from the atheists and the compromisers and those who are just dead set on tearing everything apart. They're dead set on every kind of rule there is being broken. They're dead set on immoral living. They're dead set on killing our babies. They're just dead set on all those immoral things. Well, they're going to continue, and the world's going to get worse and worse. And no, America and Israel are the only two nations resisting the one world order. And you need to get behind anybody who promotes the one world order. And you need to, absolutely turn from anything that would promote a one world order because it's of the devil. I'm telling you, a one world government is of the devil. They come out of hell. They want you to be a slave to the government. Oh, friend, listen to me. We are living in a late hour. I'm trying to get back to the Bible, and I'm crying out to you because I love you, and I'm concerned. I want you to be in church tomorrow. I wish you'd be in this church tomorrow. I believe we're the safest church in Charlotte. We keep the atmosphere sterilized. We make sure every inch of air in this whole building is purified and cleansed. I'm dedicated to that with all I've got. We're going to start our school the same way. It's going to be the purest, cleanest place in Charlotte. I'm dedicated to that. The purest, cleanest place in Charlotte. So don't turn from us because you think we're going to be unclean, because we are not going to be unclean. I put my life on that, friend. I put my life on it, and neither for the church. Only we on a distance. We have every other pew marked off and closed. We have things for you to sanitize your hands when you come in the door. You know, and if somebody don't sanitize their hand, we make sure the building has been so sanitized that they get sanitized whether they want to be sanitized or not. I'm here to tell you, we are out to make this a clean place. We're going to do it for your kids, too. This school is going to be a clean place. And our teachers are so dedicated. Wow, are they dedicated. And we meet Monday starting our year. And we're claiming the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. And I tell every one of you, this preacher is dedicated. We've had people to say, no, I don't want my children to be in the classroom. I want them to do it on the computer. I can't stop you. But I can tell you that the academic world of the world church, I'm sure you should say the world school, has gone so far away from anything. Nothing has done more damage in America than education, because it's full of liberalism, it's full of compromise. You got to give credence in their thinking to every moral concept that's out there. I don't care how far down the aisle it is. I mean everything. You better not go to school and start promoting against abortion. Oh, it's all for abortion. It's for immorality. It's for everything. But friend, you can have a school that has the moral underpinning of the Bible. The moral underpinning. Well, I didn't mean to talk that much about school, but I care about your children. My wife and I have lived for your children since 1974. We gave everything we had for them. Our school is nearly 50 years old. We'll be in three more years after this coming year. 47 years. And we've dedicated ourselves to you and your children. And I will continue until I see her on the other side. Oh, hallelujah. My little three-year-old great-granddaughter, I'm sorry. My little three-year-old great-granddaughter was talking to her mother and her grandmother a day this weekend, and they were weeping over my Juanita, their mother and the grandmother. They were just talking about it and longing for it, and the little three-year-old spoke up and said, "But Mama, Grandmother, don't you know we're going to see her as soon as we get to heaven?" And they all just, it autumn. They couldn't believe a little three-year-old spoke up and said, "But we're going to see her." Hey, we are going to see her. I know people that don't even believe we're going to know one another in heaven. And I think that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Of course we're going to know one another in heaven. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if Jesus was Jesus when he was conceived in the womb. The angel said it to Mary. He was Jesus when he walked the shores of Galilee. He was Jesus in Jerusalem. He was Jesus on the cross. He was Jesus in the tomb. He was Jesus in the resurrection. He was Jesus when he ascended to heaven. He was Jesus when God the Father honored him and gave him a name which is above every name. And he'll be Jesus when he comes in the air. Do you hear all of that? And I believe it with all my heart. Oh, I have no doubt about it. What a day that, hey, I'm trying to get back to the Bible. Listen, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and became the high priest, and having a high priest over the house of God. That's us, and that's him. He's the high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Could I say that to everybody out there? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Will you do that? Why would you do anything less? Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. Don't waver an iota. Hold on to him. Cling to the blood. Live a clean life, a holy life, a beautiful life, not forsaken in the assemblings of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. Hey, listen to this. For if we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. Now, you better hear that one, because that's not being preached by preachers today. For if we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for those sins. If you could stubbornly determine you're going to live like you please, you're not going to do what the Bible says, you're going to be free to be your own person. All right, I can't stop you. But he said it very plain, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Well, you read that for yourself. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. And that was verse 26. Now, I've laid my heart bare for you about the blood today. I know I've said the truths, the blessed truths of this book. And I know the blood of Jesus is as mighty as it has ever been. There is no compromise with it. There is no defeat in it. The blood of Jesus Christ is mighty to save. I said to you, he is mighty to save. And I pray that you will turn to him with all of your heart. I pray that you will turn to him with all of your heart, because he's mighty to save. And I want to help you. I want you to go to heaven. Could I tell every one of you listening to me, I don't care if you are African or if you are Spanish or if you are, or if you're Indian from India. I don't care from Russia. I don't care who you are. Jesus Christ will save you and make a new person out of you. He'll change your life utterly and completely, and you will be a new being, and he'll wash you until there's no sin left on your record. You'll have a pure record. And did you know that God doesn't remember the sins that Christ has washed away by the blood? Did you know that? I can read you a scriptures right here in front of me. That God himself does not remember your sins when the blood has washed them away. Let me read it to you. Very important. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember. Notice that word remember no more. God doesn't know your sins that the blood has washed away. God doesn't know them. God has forgotten. God has put them behind his back in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. And I love that, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Now, I've got 10 minutes, and I would love to have some calls. Would you pick up your phone? How many of you can tell me about the last sermon you heard about the blood? Would you call and tell me? Tell me how great it was. Tell me how good it was. How much you loved it. How much it encouraged you. How much it provoked you to clean, godly, pure living. How great became your faith because you learned. See, if I can get you believing in the power of the blood, I can get your faith to soar. I can get your faith to take on great excitement and great strength, because the blood of Jesus is mighty. You remember when he was dying, when he was being whipped in the hall of Pilate? You remember they beat him with their Roman whips? I mean, it was terrible what they did to him. Could I tell you that every stripe on him was oozing with blood, divine blood? What made those stripes mighty to heal? The blood of Jesus, the divinity of this Lamb of God who was being beaten and crucified and now whipped before crucifixion. What made him so powerful to heal? The blood that was being shed by those whips upon his back. Every stripe he offered was oozing with blood. And I'm telling you, he's the healer right now. He's able to heal you this very moment. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for somebody who needs a miracle of healing. And somebody's going to be healed. I'm believing that right now. Father, I come to you for people that I love. There's not a member of my audience, even those I don't know, even the brand new ones today, who's never heard me before. I'm coming to you, Father, for them and for the healing of their body. I'm asking you to let grace and virtue and mercy course through their very body and their being and make them every whit whole, Father, right now. Right now, make them every whit. Let virtue flow through them and heal their body. And Father, more important, I pray for every unsaved person out there. that they will right now claim the blood of Jesus to wash them and cleanse them and cleanse their conscience and cleanse their heart until they are free from sin and ready to live a godly life and a pure life. You will make them so free of the powers and strings of godlessness and iniquity that they will live a clean and pure and holy life. And I claim it, Father. I claim it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the mighty Christ, the mighty Savior, or the mighty. I claim that, Father, and get us all ready for the rapture. Father, get us ready for the rapture. Get us ready for that glorious trumpet sound. Get us ready for that glorious moment, that wonderful moment. Praise your name, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm loving you, and I've loved this time with you. And I don't know my subject next week, but I can tell you one thing. I'll stay right in the book. And I'm excited about the rapture. I'm looking for it any moment. I'm really excited about that wonder in the heavens above. I'm praying that God will consider what I have suggested, that it be a great cross with blood pulsating all over that cross. So this world will understand the blood of Jesus right now is as full of life as it ever was. Even the moments of his dying on the cross, that blood was redeeming, and that blood is still redeeming in the same supernatural manner as it was the day of his crucifixion. A thief was saved right there by the Christ hanging on the cross and shedding his blood. And any thief out there can be saved right now by that same blood. I'm really declaring to you and trying to get you to grab what I'm saying and trying to get in this book. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I wonder if your church will sing that tomorrow. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that flows, hallelujah. Oh, precious is the stream. Can't say it all, but it's a beautiful song. I'm here to tell you the blood of Jesus is the only cleansing agent in the world that cleanses sin from a human heart. You can wash our heads and our bodies with soap and make the outward man clean, but only God can make the inward man clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm crying out to you, turn to Christ with all your heart. Turn to him with all you've got. Please consider Paul Quick Christian Academy. Please consider it. I have a need of maybe one more staff person. I won't try to tell you what it is, but if you are looking for a place that is really full of God, then come and let us talk to you. Come to church in the morning, 11 o'clock, I'm sorry, the morning worship, 10 o'clock Sunday school. Tomorrow evening is 6, and we're back in church. We're doing distancing. We're sanitizing our hands. We're keeping every atmosphere of the building cleaned up. I'm telling you, I'm doing some things. I don't know what anybody else is doing, but I'm making sure the air in this place is free of any kind of germ. And if somebody walks in who has a germ about their body, that germ will be killed because of the atmosphere being so sanitized and so carefully kept. Oh, I'm giving all I got for that because I love you. If somebody gets sick after they walk in here, it's going to be because they brought it in here with them. You know, I believe in most cases it'll be killed in our very atmosphere because we're sanitizing every inch of this place, every inch of the air, every inch. You say you can't do that. Don't tell me. We've been safe since March. Been safe since March. God's took care of us because we're here for one reason, to bless you and to help you, and to get you ready to meet God, to get our school ready for a great year of education. I promise you, your children will be safe in these classrooms. They'll be distant. Their teacher will sanitize that room every morning. I'll be helping them. Hallways, restrooms, every part of this place. Hallelujah. No adult will walk in this building without a mask and without sanitizing their hands at the door. I'm here to tell you, we're really going to be tough to handle. It's going to be right. It's going to be good. It's going to be clean. And we're going to protect your children because I love children with all of my heart. Now, ain't nobody ever loved children more than Juanita and Brother Chambers did. We're giving our life to them. They've been preserved and kept pure. If somebody drives up in our parking lot and tries to park out there and sit in their car, we go tell them to leave because we don't know what somebody has in mind and we aren't going to take no chances. We are really an effort to be what God wants us to be. And the same as church tomorrow. You can come and worship God, hear the word. Nobody will try to impose on you. It'll all be an effort on our part to make you safe in this church. And I love you, friend. The Lord's coming. Did you know how close we are to the rapture? Do you stop and think? How about that earthquake a week ago tomorrow in North Carolina? An earthquake in North Carolina. Boy, that's a wake-up call, won't it? You wait till you see that wonder in the heavens above. Might be this evening. Might be tomorrow. Might be Monday. I'm looking for it any moment. I told God, I'm like Jacob of old. I'm not going to let you go till you do it. I'm not going to turn you loose, God, till you keep the promise that you would give us wonders in the heavens above. I'm not going to turn him loose. Will you join me? Pray with me that God will fulfill the great scripture in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 17, where he says, "In the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall have visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before that great and notable day of the Lord's come." Sometime shortly, the sun's going to go out one day, be out a couple of hours, and it's going to shake this world until there won't be much left that doesn't have some consciousness of God. That's what I'm praying for. Send it, Lord, send it. Give us a revelation of thy glory. Give us a revelation of thy power. Let us see the wonder of thy hand, O Lord. We're hungry to see the wonder of God's hand. We're hungry to see the glory of God's presence. We're hungry for heaven to come down like rain on the mown grass. We really are. We're hungry to see his glory. And God never fails. He really never fails. God never fails. He is a God of perfection. He is a God of beauty. He's a God of loveliness. I love him with all my heart. I really do. And I'm looking for Jesus to come at any moment. I'm looking for Jesus to come. And you wouldn't believe this, but right during the program, my granddaughter up in Maine sent me a picture of the baby. And I can't get it to come up. I was going to show it to you with that little camera up there in front of me, but I couldn't get it. But I want you to know, Jesus is coming. It is at the door. Do you hear me? It is at the door. Any minute now, that trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be out of here. I want you to go. I really do. I want you to go. It's going to be us. I can't make you go. I can't make you get ready. But I can tell you there's not much time left. Are you listening to me? I can tell you there's not much time now. I got 1 minute here. I guess I could take a call. One call. Anybody? Anybody? You want to ask the question? How many of you believe the blood will do anything that the Bible promises he'll do? How many of you believe the blood of Jesus is still alive and mighty right now? How many of you believe it's still throbbing with life, just like it was when he was dying on that cross? And that blood still makes pure and makes whole and does wonders in the lives of men and women. Friend, listen to me. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. I want you to get ready to go. Could I tell you? I want you to get ready to go. I want you to get ready to go. It's at hand. It's wonderful. I don't know how short it is, but I'm telling you, at the door, Jesus is coming. Well, I didn't put the oh, I can tell you. Sometimes I'm human. You got that laughter? Sometimes I'm human. All the time I'm human. I promise you I'm human. And God is great. God is wonderful. And God never fails. God is wonderful, and God is great, and God never fails. And I don't know why this thing don't do what I tell it to do, but it seems to be stubborn today. You ever have one that's stubborn? Listen,
save
I got...
by grace.
swing open wide. Oh, I'm gonna sing redemption story.